Healthy Alternatives. Both research and real-life experiences are making it clear every day that our traditional medical system and practices need to be rethought, revised, and recharged in light of a more holistic approach to health. Dr. Jerry V. Teplitz, host of Healthy Alternatives, has been a pioneer for 36 years in stress management and optimum health. With a Ph.D. in holistic health sciences, a law degree, and as the author of 8 books, all focused on health, stress management, and performance, Dr. Teplitz is uniquely qualified to help us explore and incorporate healthy alternatives into our daily lives. He is a professional speaker and has shared his wisdom with over 1 million people. Join him to reach your highest level of health and wellness. Now, here's Dr. Teplitz.
Welcome to Healthy Alternatives. I'm Dr. Jerry Teplitz, and you're listening to WebTalkRadio.net. What Healthy Alternatives is about, we all really want to live longer, enjoy life more, reach optimum levels of health and wellness, and that's what I attempt to bring on each of the Healthy Alternative shows. My guest I'm going to be interviewing a little bit later is Tom Cavanaugh. Tom has 3 decades of sales experience. He's got an extensive background in neurolinguistic programming, hypnotherapy, and accelerated learning. He's got a bachelor's in clinical hypnotherapy and a master's in transpersonal psychology. He's been certified in NLP, mind mapping, and photo reading. And we're going to be talking to Tom about mind mapping and how you can use that as a way of really releasing a level of creativity that you may not have been aware of. We'll be talking to him in just a couple of minutes. Every week, I like to begin the show by talking about an issue or concern you should know about because it can have a real impact on you. What I want to talk about is a chemical that's showing up in our urine. It's bisphenol A, or BPA, and you'll find BPA in metal cans, water bottles potentially. It's on receipts that you get in a restaurant. There was a recent study done from a long-term study done by British Health that found there's an increased risk of heart disease based on having high levels of BPA in your urine. So people who developed heart disease also tend to have high concentrations of this. Much of the research to date on BPA has involved animals. This latest study is humans. And even though the animal studies found the same thing, this is the first study to say that exposure to BPA in humans can increase heart disease. In this study, which was published in 2010, adults with the highest levels of BPA were more than twice as likely to develop coronary heart disease as those with the lowest levels. Because it is so pervasive, the kinds of things that it's in that I was mentioning before, about 95% of the people tested have potentially dangerous levels in their bodies. And keep in mind, heart disease continues to be the leading cause of death in this country. It's even found BPA in the umbilical cords of babies that are still in the womb. What BPA is what's called an endocrine disruptor. It means it mimics and interferes with the body's hormones and disrupts your endocrine system. And the endocrine system is involved in regulating mood, growth and development, tissue function, metabolism, sexual function, and reproductive processes. It can also lead to decreased sperm quality, early puberty, early development of mammary glands, a whole range of things, even ovarian dysfunction and cancer, as well as we said before, heart disease. One study found eating canned soup for 5 days can increase a study's participants' urinary concentration of BPA by more than 1,000% compared to freshly made soup. So while BPA has been banned in baby bottles in Europe and the United States, we really need to go a lot further, and we need to be careful just if the chemical industry comes up with a substitute, we have to make sure it's not also creating a problem as well. Every week, I also like to talk about a healthy breakthrough. It's the newest information, latest discoveries that we can use for ourselves and loved ones that are really a healthy breakthrough. What I want to talk about is coconut oil, and that it may actually reduce our waist circumference. There was a study published in Lipids. It was a randomized double-blind clinical trial of 40 women. They were divided into two groups. One received a daily supplement of soybean oil, and the other received coconut oil. And they both followed a balanced hypochloric diet and walked for 50 minutes each day. The group that had the soybean oil actually had an increase in total cholesterol, the LDL-HDL ratio, and even HDL diminished. That did not happen in the group getting coconut oil. You have to realize prior to 1920, coronary heart disease was actually a rarity. In the 50s, the rates began to rise as we started to eat more hydrogenated vegetable oils, which are the trans fats. And now, soybean oil makes up 68% of the vegetable oils and fats consumed by Americans every day. So keep in mind with this study that the coconut oil group wound up increasing their levels of HDL, which is the good stuff. They decreased the LDL to HDL ratio, which is also good. And they reduced their waist circumference and abdominal obesity just by adding coconut oil to their diet. What coconut oil is while it's a saturated fat, it's a middle chain saturated fat, which makes it very different. Pacific Island populations who get 30 to 60% of their calories from fully saturated coconut oil have all shown non-existent rates of cardiovascular disease. There's a compound in coconut oil called lauric acid, and it converts to something called monolaurin in the body, and it seems to strengthen our immune system. Coconut oil is also excellent for the thyroid, and it may even actually help prevent or treat Alzheimer's disease. So take a look at increasing coconut oil that has been not created by chemical processing, but and not by high pressure. There's several companies you can look at to find out what is a good coconut oil for you. If you want to know more about me, Dr. Jerry Teplitz, you can go to teplitz.com, and you can follow me on Twitter and Facebook. You'll see the links that you can click right on the Healthy Alternatives website. In addition, I do a free monthly e-newsletter called the Teplitz Report. You can find it at my website, teplitz.com. You'll see the About Home button and just get the drop-down menu and you can click there. Before I bring on my guest, Tom Cavanaugh, I'd like to pause for this message. If you get a headache, how would you like to be able to get rid of it in 90 seconds? How about treating a migraine in 5 minutes? How about taking care of sinus colds, stiff necks, sore shoulders? You can do all that with a Japanese pressure technique called Shiatsu. It's a 2,000-year-old system, and I have adapted it and now make it available to you where you can buy those treatments online. You can buy the individual treatments. You can download the individual treatments. You can actually buy a DVD. All you have to do is go to migraineandheadache.com. Migraine and is A-N-D headache.com, and you can purchase what you need and get it immediately.
My guest today is Tom Cavanaugh. Tom has 3 decades of sales experience. He's got a rich background in neurolinguistic programming, hypnotherapy, and accelerated learning. He actually is a certified master NLP practitioner and trainer. He's also a certified trainer of clinical hypnotherapy. He actually got his bachelor's degree in clinical hypnotherapy and a master's degree in transpersonal psychology. And he's created his own company, New Training Strategies, and what he wants to really do is share accelerated learning skills to help other people improve their knowledge base and their lives. He's a Marine Corps vet, and he originated what he calls the release technique. It's a protocol to help people who have post-traumatic stress disorder. So, Tom, welcome to Healthy Alternatives.
Good morning, Dr. Jerry. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. And so, going into NLP and clinical hypnotherapy, what started moving you in those directions originally?
Originally, I was in the sales industry, and someone came through our company and wanted to train us in how to better sell our products using NLP techniques. And within the first 30 minutes of the seminar that I attended, I knew right then and there that that was a complete new way of thinking and communicating with people, and I wanted to learn how to do that and learn how to teach it as well.
And how about the clinical hypnotherapy? How did that come about for you?
When you study neurolinguistic programming, it's actually in 3 components. The first is the NLP techniques. The second is in what we call timeline techniques, in the temporal use of predicates. And also the third is in clinical hypnotherapy, because many of the language patterns that are utilized in the science of NLP are based upon hypnotic language patterns.
Now, you also got into an area called mind mapping. I'm going to focus in on that in the interview at this point. And so would you tell my listeners what mind mapping is and how it works and what it's about?
I'm really excited about mind mapping. Mind mapping is a part of what we call the accelerated learning, a way of thinking and communicating with ourselves in many different ways. The main reason that I looked at mind mapping is because it's a whole brain method of organizing and recalling information that we've learned the way that our brain organizes it, not the way that we've been taught to organize information in linear patterns. It's actually been called the Swiss Army knife of the brain by many, many successful people. It was created in the early 1970s by a gentleman named Tony Buzan, who's one of the world's foremost authorities on how the brain operates and how the brain creates different areas so that the mind can utilize those areas for easy access. And mind mapping is a way for us to organize that information, the way that the brain stores it, for easy recall, so that we have access to it quickly and easily, and it helps to develop better memory and better recall in the future.
So just for our listeners to understand a little more clearly, as I understand the way people like would normally create an outline, you'd have, you know, Roman numeral 1 and sub A, sub B, and you created that kind of top to bottom kind of fashion. And mind mapping does that whole mapping out in a totally different way. Can you tell us what that would physically look like, since we don't have a graph to show them?
Absolutely. As you mentioned, the normal way of getting a piece of information on a piece of paper is to do it from the top down to the bottom in a linear fashion from left to right. And we do it in like an outline form. Mind map's completely different. If you think about a completely blank piece of paper and you put it sideways, which is called the landscape orientation, you start out in the very center of the paper with your central theme or the idea that you want to work on. And what you do is you are able to utilize both the left and right hemispheres of the brain. We know that one side of the brain is the logical and structured side. The other side is the creative side and the innovative side. So what we do with mind mapping is, from that central theme in the center of the paper, you'll radiate out branches almost as if they were in the sequence of the numbers on the face of a cloth. You'd start out at about 1 o'clock on the piece of paper, and you'd put one branch there, which would be like a main subsection of the central theme. And all of the subsequent branches in that hierarchy will be related to that one piece of information. Then what we do is we make sure that that particular branch is one specific color, because we know that emotions, when they're attached to either information or an event, help us remember that information or that event better. And we know that colors evoke emotion in the mind. So we use a combination of the organic structure of the branches. In other words, you can draw the branch in any shape that you want. You want to put a specific color to that branch and all the other branches in its hierarchy. And you want to make sure that you use one word per branch as a trigger to activate all of the information that that one word would represent, say 1, 2, or 3 paragraphs worth of information.
Now, then why would you want to go through this amount of work versus just throwing it on paper as an outline?
Well, there's two reasons. Number one, with an outline form, you're going to have pages and pages and pages, and you don't really know where the information is located that you're looking for when you have to go back to review. When you put everything down on a mind map, it's all done on one single piece of paper. And when you look at that piece of paper, your brain is taking in the entire picture at one time, and which triggers a lot of the anchored information that's been stored away in your memory. And the other thing is that it allows you to follow the sequence of where you put the information at the timing that you put the information down on the paper, because it follows the logical sequential ordering of the branches like you would follow on the numbers of a clock.
So I don't know if anybody's looked at that, but because you said you put the central theme in the center of the page that's in front of you, and one thought that I have in terms of how the brain operates, when you're kind of looking to the left side of the page, for most folks, you're activating the right hemisphere. When you're looking at right side of the page, you're activating the left hemisphere through the vision, so that you are, I would think, doing this notion of much more of a bringing the left and right together and doing it. Has anybody researched that or looked at that?
There's been a tremendous amount of research on mind mapping and as far as how it actually effectively helps the brain to organize information, remember it better, and to be able to activate the two halves, the two hemispheres of the brain. And anybody who's interested can send me an email. I'll be happy to send them. There's tons of information on research on mind mapping that's been done over the years.
Give us at least one example of one piece of research that really stands out for you on the validity and impact.
Well, the most important information that I've received on information as far as that's concerned is there's a book that's called Creative Visualization, and it was done by, I forget the first name, last name is Gawain, G-A-W-A-I-N. And the Creative Visualization is a book that helps to demonstrate how the mind thinks in pictures and how putting those forms and shapes and symbols down on paper act as pictures to the brain and activates the information that we have that we want to be able to access again, to be able to remember.
So it's not just the mind mapping concept of, kind of the way you're placing things, but you're creating a picture that the brain is more along the lines of the way the brain functions.
Absolutely, because the brain thinks in pictures, and when we see a picture, we have many, many different thoughts about the actual meaning behind what that picture is saying to us in our mind. A picture speaks 1,000 words. And so when you draw a mind map, it's almost like a road map where you want to get from point A to point B. A mind map allows you to follow the information that you learned from the beginning all the way around to its conclusion in a map that allows you to sequentially understand how it progresses as well as conceptually understanding the total picture.
I would assume when somebody does a mind map, because of the way they're doing it, they get triggered for thoughts and ideas far beyond what you would get when you just kind of do an outline?
Yes, because when you mind map, what happens is when you are reviewing the map or even when you are building the map, what happens is you spontaneously activate other information that is related to what it is that you're either building or reviewing. We call that brainstorming. And it's a way that your brain automatically associates pieces of information with what you're doing in the moment. And that allows you to think outside of your main focus at the moment.
What do you see as some of the applications of mind mapping?
Well, I think the applications are really incredible as far as the list of what we can do with mind mapping. Number one, when you make a mind map, you can use it for creating an agenda for a meeting. You can create it to maybe structure out the way that you want to do your meals for a particular day. You can draw out the things that you're going to have, the different condiments and the different parts of the meal. You can do a shopping list where you can make a template, and then each week you could fill in the blank lines of what you want to do that week. You could sit down and mind map out goals for your future, for a project. You can mind map the goals for your educational desires. You can mind map out a daily schedule or a weekly schedule. You can mind map out writing a book, which is what an awful lot of authors do. They actually sit down and they conceptualize what the book's going to look like in their mind. And then essentially what they'll do is they'll take each of the branches on the mind map and they'll create a chapter on that branch. And then the hierarchy of the information will allow the associated parts of that chapter to all be connected to each other so the information flows easily. It helps in decision making, especially note taking. It also helps in note making. In other words, you could take the notes of a seminar on a mind map, and then you could turn around and create a mind map making notes of what your thoughts were about the seminar. And of course, it absolutely helps with memory recall.
So before we continue, I'd like to remind you listening to Healthy Alternatives with Dr. Jerry Teplitz on webtalkradio.net. And we'll be back with my guest, Tom Cavanaugh, in just a moment.
I want to tell you about music with subliminal messages created by Stephen Halpern. I have been selling these subliminal music CDs for 25 years. There's one on Listen and Lose Weight. I've had people report to me that they've actually lost 15 pounds, 25 pounds, 11 pounds without actually changing their diet. There's also one on accelerated learning. You got kids in school who are studying. You're reading materials. You have to remember you play it while you're reading or they are reading the materials. There's one on being more productive called Enhancing Success, Effortless Relaxation, Sleep Soundly, a whole range of them. You can find out about them by going to teplitz.com, T-E-P-L-I-T-Z.com. You'll see the navigation across the top. You'll see products. You'll get a drop-down menu and just select subliminal music.
So my guest today is Tom Cavanaugh. He has 3 decades of sales experience, and he's actually a certified master neuro-linguistic programming practitioner. He's a certified trainer of clinical hypnotherapy. He's certified in mind mapping and photo reading. He's got his own company called New Training Strategies to help people use accelerated learning concepts to improve their lives. And he also developed the Release Technique, a protocol to help people and vets who have PTSD. And his website is newtrainingstrategies.com. And so, Tom, let's pick up in terms of mind mapping. Are there tricks that you've learned that can make it easier to do, make it better when you're doing a mind map?
Absolutely. And thank you for asking that question, because that's probably one of the most important questions that people have when they start to learn how to mind map. The generational hierarchy of information is the most important part of understanding how mind maps work best for your brain. In other words,
hold on a second. What do you mean by generational hierarchy of information. What does that mean?
That's what I'm just getting to explain.
Okay, good. Okay.
When you start out at the center of the page with your general theme, then you want to move in a hierarchy of information where it's almost what I would say generational. So think of the chapters in a book where the main branch would be, the first branch would be the title of the chapter. So that's the first generation. The second branch, second level of hierarchy of the branches would be a sub-chapter heading. And then the third generational hierarchy level of the branch would be maybe a bullet point for that chapter. Does that help you understand?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay, so the generational hierarchy in the levels that you place them on the branches actually helps the information flow very, very smoothly, and it allows your brain, because we have what's called a preconscious processor, it allows your brain to think ahead of what's coming next, and it fills in the blanks automatically. That's why when you review a mind map, your preconscious processor in your mind actually takes all of the information in at one time, and then it sets up the easy access to the flow of information as you follow the mind map around.
Now, I've actually seen software you can use that creates a mind map for you. Two questions. One is there any software that you recommend? And second, is there a difference between people doing it on paper, creating a mind map, versus on a computer in terms of effectiveness?
Yes, absolutely. Number one, the software that I recommend is iMindMap. It's currently version 6 from thinkbuzon.com. Tony Buzon's company has the software. It was created by a gentleman whose name is Chris Griffiths, who's actually the CEO of ThinkBuzon. And Chris is the first person in the world to be able to create the algorithms and software that allow the branches to be what we call organic. In other words, they are non-linear shape. They're curved or they're circled. And that's the way that your brain actually works. So that's the reason why this particular software is head and shoulders above any other software for mind mapping on the market. Number two.
And so what's the website again?
It is ThinkBuzan, BUZAN.com.
And the other question is, has anybody compared the effectiveness of doing it on a computer versus doing it on paper?
Yes, and I'm going to answer that question in two ways. Number one, first of all, when you are in a setting where you're taking notes, for instance, a seminar or something like that, maybe even a classroom, when you're seeing the instructor teaching the class, you're listening to the instructor teaching the class, the third modality of learning that you want to incorporate is actually doing something with the information in a kinesthetic or manual manner. So taking mind maps in class by hand actually helps to solidify the information in your memory so that you remember it better. Now, what you do with that is once you've made that mind map, I always recommend that you go back and put it into the software program, because it allows you to be a little bit more creative with, because you have time to put pictures and so forth next to the branches so that they actually speak more information to your mind as you're reviewing the information. If you don't have software available, the hand-drawn mind map will absolutely suffice, and it will do the job for you.
Yeah, you remind me of when I was in college and law school, when I was studying for exams, I didn't do mind mapping, but I would take my notes and I would create an outline of it. And then I would review the outline a number of times, and because that got, as you're saying, the kinesthetic and the visual and and kind of the auditory all involved. And so, you know, transferring it to a computer makes a lot of sense after you've taken it by hand physically.
Absolutely, it does. And that way you've actually gotten an additional layer of awareness of the information, because you're going through it from start to finish a second time. And the best way for you to solidify that information into what we call long-term memory is to review the information within 10 to 30 minutes after you have created it, and then review it one day later, then review it a week later, a month later, and then 6 months later. And that helps to firmly embed that information into your long-term memory.
And if you're a student, you're done with the exam, and you'll forget it anyway. So
we hope not.
So can you give an example of how mind mapping has actually affected somebody's life?
Well, I can give you a personal example. One of the things that I saw when I first learned mind mapping, there was a young man behind me in the seminar I was taking, and he had a piece of paper. It was 8.5 by 14, and there wasn't a square inch that was empty on the paper. And I looked at it, and I said, "What is that?" It looked like there was just a bunch of short lines with a bunch of writing on it. And he said, "That's my mind map of my criminal law semester. Not just the class, but the entire semester was on one piece of paper." Now, I took that information. It got me very, very excited about going back to school. And I didn't go back to school to my graduate work until I was 55 years old. And I used two study techniques, and only two study techniques, to go through school at a level of proficiency I've never experienced before. The first of those two study techniques is mind mapping. And mind mapping allowed me to be able to have a complete conceptual picture of my entire semester, week by week, day by day, as I drew out the mind map. Because we have another generation of mind maps, which is called a mega mind map. And what that does is, if you
a
want
bigger
to
mind map, huh?
A mega mind map, that's correct. And what mega mind maps do is, if you wanted to, you could actually create a large mind map on, say, a 2 foot by 3 foot piece of paper, put it up on a wall, and then each day after class, you could go back to that mega mind map and add your mind map notes and draw out a map for what you studied that particular day, or if you're working on a project. The largest mind map ever created in the world is 25 feet long. Was created by Boeing Corporation to design one of their airplanes. And so you can use mind maps for many, many different applications, but the idea here is that what this does is it will allow you to learn at an exponentially higher level of comprehension, because you get the whole picture as well as the details at the same time, and that's how it can help you make your life better.
It's kind of like mind map gets us back into when we were kids and really liked to scribble and draw. Even if we weren't good at drawing figures and stuff, we like to, you know, use colors and things like that. And so it's kind of like getting you back to that childhood feeling.
Well, it's actually a sense of a wonderment that is created in your mind, because now you get a chance to play on the creative side of your brain, which we very, very seldom do unless we're in the arts. In normal, logical, sequential business world, we very seldom get a chance to play on that creative side. And what this does is it actually opens up that learning channel where it helps your creativity with new ideas and concepts, because we're thinking in pictures, you're drawing pictures. And again, when you go through the generational hierarchy of information, you start to initiate new thoughts and brainstorming that can actually help you do what you're doing better.
Now, you give seminars on mind mapping, is that correct?
Yes, that is correct.
How long is a seminar normally?
The full one-day seminar is one day, obviously, and then the other seminar that I do is I have a four-hour introductory seminar on mind mapping immediately preceding the two-and-a-half-day photo reading seminar, which I teach.
Is there any way for people to learn this from you with via internet or written materials or stuff like that?
Yes, I can do Skype sessions and teach people mind mapping via Skype. It's a very easy process to follow. And if they want to attend a live seminar, obviously there's nothing better than attending a live seminar, but the information that can be shared on the internet and one, so we get an opportunity to do a lot more detailed work with somebody's mind and answer a lot more questions that they have.
Great. So for listeners, if you'd like to explore more about mind mapping and other things Tom Cavanaugh has available, go to his website at New Training Strategies, strategies is IES.com, newtrainingstrategies.com. Tom, thanks for being a guest today on Healthy Alternatives.
Dr. Jerry, thanks for having me. Have an awesome day in your life. Bye for now.
This is Dr. Jerry Teplitz, and you can find out more about me at teplitz.com, or you can follow me on Facebook and Twitter. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for being with us today for Healthy Alternatives. For more information about Dr. Teplitz and his availability for speaking engagements, please click on the globe on the webtalkradio.net page in front of you, or go to teplitz.com. You may also follow him on Facebook and Twitter by using the icons on the page. To find out more about his books, please click on any of the book covers you see. Eat well, rest well, take a breath, get some exercise, and we'll see you again right here next week for another edition of Healthy Alternatives.